Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from Car Talk Plaza, right here.
Of all places.
Yeah, so now that the presents are all unwrapped, now you can tell us, what would you get for Christmas, man?
Well, I got some rather interesting stuff.
Really?
I won't tell you who I got this from, but I got a little bottle. Maybe you have this. You certainly need it. A bottle of Murky Research Hindsight Whiteout Kit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's so that you can adjust the research data to fit the conclusion that you want to reach. So you just change all the numbers around without moving anything, you know?
That's it. I mean, that was the number. That was the first thing that leapt into your mind.
Well, it was the most interesting gift that I got.
Did you get anything else?
What'd you get?
Well, I got two tickets to the Chevy Chase show.
Oh, yeah. Who are you going to take?
Hey, we're going to take calls in a minute, and I'm sure you have letters of interest to read.
Oh, you bet.
But before you plunge into those, I thought I would mention a vehicle that I've been driving the better part of the week.
Yeah.
I was driving this until I gave it to Dougie and swapped him for the Volvo. But actually, it all starts with this. Not recently, but maybe a few months ago, you went on a tirade, and you've done this a few times about semi-truck drivers. Or drivers of semi-trucks.
No, I think it was semi-brained truck drivers.
Who pull right up on your bumper, you know, when you're doing 70 in the left-hand lane, already exceeding the speed limit.
Yeah.
They flash their headlights, they tailgate you so that you have to pull over. And
they intimidate you, they bully. They bully.
Yes, they bully you. And there's an old Chinese saying.
Yes.
That says, I don't know exactly the words, but it says something like, you should never judge a man until you've slept 2 weeks in his Bronco Nagurski long underwear, or something like
it
that.
It is. That's something exactly like that. I got that on a Chinese fortune cookie.
I don't exactly remember what it is.
Yeah.
But
So you have slept in someone's Bronco Nagurski?
I have indeed, because I have had the rare opportunity to drive the brand new 1994 Dodge Ram Turbo Diesel four-wheel drive pickup truck. The thing is humongous, first of all.
Yes, I've seen it. You wouldn't let me drive.
I needed a 5-foot step ladder to get into it, but that's beside the point. I guess the main feature which immediately jumps out at you is the noise. Oh, my God, the noise. I mean, this is a real truck.
But even inside?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all around you. It follows you, too. You can't escape it. You go faster, the noise is
the
right
noise
there
is with
you.
I mean, it's just from the outside, the noise is incredible. I mean, that's some engine, the Cummins diesel.
Oh, no, it's a wonderful engine. It's like 5.8 liters. It's turbocharged. It's got everything you'd ever want in a truck. I mean, and if I worked...
Except for spark plugs. You might want them.
Yeah, I mean, and if I worked for, you know, a company that collected trash or something, I'd want one of these engines under my hood.
Sure.
But I came to realize what it is about these things that makes diesel truck drivers
drive the way they do.
The way they do, because... Number one, the sound will drive you nuts. You want to get your trip over as quickly as possible.
Oh, so anyone who's in front of you.
Get out of my way, man.
You're going to do anything to get them out of your way.
And the fumes do taint your ability to think clearly and objectively. The fumes are pretty strong. And
yeah.
not as bad for the driver as they are for whoever happens to be stuck behind you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd share that little
insight. That's the explanation that these guys, their brains are a little bit warped because of the fumes, and they're dying to get out of the vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
But that's no excuse. I mean, everyone who's driving...
No, you haven't driven this yet. But you can tell us next week after you've had an opportunity to drive it for an entire week.
Okie dokie.
In the meantime, we are going to take a call. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Adrian from Gurnee, Illinois.
Adrian,
from where?
Gurnee, Illinois, in the majestic northern suburbs of Chicago.
Wow.
Majestic. I like that, majestic.
How can Chicago have northern suburbs? Isn't there a lake up there?
Yeah, but we're on the west side.
West side.
Ah, trying to trick me, huh?
But we have water wings just in case.
So the majestic western suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. You made it sound very romantic, Adrian.
That is. Poetic.
Well, it is, and I just knew that you guys are so tasteful that I have a really interesting question for you.
Having to do with taste.
Well.
We're ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sitting down?
Yeah, well, trying to lie down, but we're... just sitting right now.
Up taking nourishment.
Well, I just want to tell you that I like to decorate.
Yeah.
And I want to know if it is safe or dangerous to put a Christmas wreath on the front grill of my car.
I can speak from personal experience because several years ago...
You drove a Ford Festiva.
No,
that had the funeral wreath on the front.
No, several years ago, I was at the Christmas tree place. There, what is that? The place where you try to chisel the Boy Scouts for for a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And I decided that I was going to buy a wreath for the front of my Dodge Dakota pickup because I had seen a lot of people do it.
And you need something to cheer you up. God knows, driving around in that thing.
And I did. I did exactly that. I put, I don't know, probably a foot and a half diameter wreath.
Yeah.
And in front of my pickup truck. And I can report.
How long did it take before it overheated?
It never overheated.
Excellent.
Well, until July.
You should have taken it down. This one over there.
Think I should have? But no, I can safely advise you, Adrian, to go and do it.
What kind of a car do you have, Adrian?
Well, I have a black 91 Jeep Cherokee. And those look great right on the front grill. It's like the grill is begging for something. It seems kind of empty.
Yeah. Black and the green of the wreath.
Yeah.
I think that's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, the reason it's important, it isn't going to cause overheating, is that it's cold and there's probably enough cool air going through the radiator during the winter, which is certainly upon us.
Mm.
So that there's no danger for it overheating.
But it wouldn't catch fire, would it? Because my husband thought that maybe I could start a fire and the whole thing would explode.
Oh, from what?
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, there's no heat up there.
No, the heat's going in the other direction.
Yeah, the heat is under the hood and is blowing backwards.
Right, you're out racing the heat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's no danger of that.
Okay.
Unless your husband is trying to get it to...
no, he wouldn't do that.
There's
no danger for it. The only danger is that you overheat the thing if you continue to drive it into March and April with the wreath on there, like I did.
Yeah, I mean, the only danger is overheating. Okay. Other than that, there is no danger. And there isn't much danger of overheating. So I would say this is a pretty safe practice up there in Gurnee, Illinois, in the majestic northwest suburbs.
So this is the extent of the decoration? I mean, I thought no other festooning? I mean, no...
No garlands?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you wouldn't put the garland on the front because that could get sucked in by the fan. But on the mirrors, the outside mirrors, I like that. Because then as you drive, it would float back
behind.
Oh, I
like that too, yeah.
You know?
There you go.
That's kind of nice. Balloons
well,
are nice.
This is wonderful. So you've saved my marriage.
Yeah, we have.
Well,
that's all it took.
See you, Adrian.
Thanks for calling, Adrian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we've got more calls in the Puzzler Answer coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. We all know that feeling of finding yourself stuck on the side of the road, but now you can avoid that pain by getting your vehicle the parts it needs before that breakdown, oh no, moment. With eBay Guaranteed Fit and over 122 million parts and accessories, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Just look for the green check. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, it's time to answer last week's puzzler.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to remember what it is.
It happens to have been an automotive puzzler, and I know you don't remember what it was. And I guess you forgot.
I'm pondering.
You forgot when you came down the chimney and landed on your head.
I'm pondering. I have no idea.
Well, one of my guys at the shop.
I still don't have any idea.
You know, you remember you described him so everyone could see the image, the knuckle scraping on the ground, the grunting.
I remember doing that.
Hair covering his entire body, the top of his head.
I remember saying that.
Anyway, he buys himself a brand new Snap-on nuclear-powered timing light.
Ah!
Built into this device.
Yes,
this is the top of the line.
This was good.
There are all kinds of accessories, like a tachometer, an AM/FM radio, CD player, fax modem. All these things are built in. So when you're timing a car, if someone's going to fax you something, you can get faxed right there.
That's good.
Anyway, it has this tachometer function, and the way it works is that you hook it up to one of the spark plug wires, and whilst it is doing the timing for you, it counts how many pulses there are in a minute or a second or whatever it does, and it knows that the crankshaft must turn two revolutions, right, for all the cylinders to fire. Okay?
Yeah.
And because it knows that, it can figure out, if it knows what time, how the time is going by, it can figure out the revolutions per minute.
Sure. Right?
Whether you have 2, 4, 6, 8 cylinders, makes no difference. All
Don't
the
matter.
Cylinders must fire within 2 revolutions of the crankshaft.
Right.
Pretty good, huh? Right?
Yeah.
You got that?
So that's it. This okay. is nuclear-powered.
Well, imagine his surprise when he hooks up this $300-plus nuclear-powered timing light to some car, some GM car, and he reads the engine RPM, and it says 1,900. He says, this can't be right. Doesn't sound like it's idling that fast. But I spent all this money, it must be right.
Sure.
Right? I mean, it couldn't possibly be wrong. So he turns the idle down to, like, 750, whereupon the car stalls. It won't run anymore. And he says, stupid timing light, and he throws it on the ground and jumps up and down like you're supposed to do when tools don't work. Anyway, he goes over to another car, and he hooks up his timing light tachometer at, and another tachometer, and they both read 900, which is what he assumes the car is running. So he says, gee, my thing must be working correctly. So he goes back to the first car. He turns the screw back to where it was, and it reads 1900. The engine sounds okay, and he lets the car go. He doesn't care anymore. It doesn't work. What's wrong? Why does this thing say 1900 when it's obvious that the thing is going probably half that fast?
Half that fast.
Oh, and 950.
Let me just guess here. Had he put the old tack on this car, what would he have gotten for a reading?
1900.
Yeah.
Mm.
And let me guess, is it important that this is a GM car?
No, it isn't. It isn't crucial.
It's important. I mean, you could have chosen another car, but you couldn't have chosen any old car.
No, I couldn't have chosen
Absolutely
any old car.
Absolutely not.
My wife's 92 Dodge Caravan has exactly the same feature.
Sure.
These cars, your Caravan and this GM car, whatever it was, have what's called direct fire ignition. They have no distributor. Distributorless ignition. And this car, I think it was a 6-cylinder, it has 3 ignition coils. Each coil has 2 terminals on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So each coil is firing twice for every revolution of
the
crankshaft.
It's just shooting out sparks like crazy.
And one of the spark plug wires that hooks to let's say, one pair of these coils, okay, sends a spark to the cylinder that's supposed to fire in its compression stroke, and it wastes the spark on the companion cylinder, sending it on the exhaust stroke. So what's happening
is... And it doesn't care, right? It gets a spark. It doesn't know what to do with it, so it says, big deal.
Exactly.
There's no fuel here to ignite. Doesn't matter. So instead of wasting all that money and time and effort on a distributor...
Or 6 coils, 6 individual coils.
They just pump out the sparks. Bing, 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 bing.
Right, and that's why the tachometer reads exactly twice what the engine is running, because those spark plugs are firing twice as often as they should be, and it confuses this poor, measly $300 timing light tachometer. Do we have a winner?
Yeah, Meg Carruthers. Meg, you lucky kid, from Portland, Oregon. And since she got that postcard chosen at random, you are going to win one of the following, Meg, one of the following fabulous prizes. A Chevy Blazer, or a Century 21 Real Estate Blazer, or a Talk Baseball hat. And you will definitely win one of those.
Anyway, we have a brand new Quasi Automotive puzzler coming up during the second half of today's show.
Quasi Automotive.
So stick around for your chance to win the big prize. In the meantime, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Gumbaz.
Hey, Gumbaz. Hey. Who's this?
This is Peter Puglisi. I'm from Binghamton, New York. How are you guys?
How you doing, Peter?
Wait a minute. You're pronouncing your name wrong.
Pugliesi.
I know, but I'm American now, so I pronounce it Puglisi. The G is now always pronounced.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
I got a transportation problems. I got a 83 Buick station wagon. Car's been faithful to me. But I need a new car. Now, here's my problem. Now, listen to me, guys. Especially, which one of you guys is the one that's had more than one mother-in-law?
My mother.
Okay. My kids live about 45 minutes away from me. I get them every weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I need a car that gets good gas mileage. It's good in snow, because that's all it does up here during the winter.
Yeah, we know about Binghamton.
Yeah, that's all it does is snow, but I need it to be kind of on the inexpensive side. You know, this way I could keep up with the child support payment so I don't end up in jail.
Yeah, so you want inexpensive, high MPG, safe.
How many kids?
I got 2 kids. 1's 9 and 1's 6.
2 kids, 9 and 6. 45 minutes. What kind of driving is this 45 minutes? Highway?
Highway. All highway.
All highway.
Okay, you good. Think of new, used, rebuilt, reconditioned, or abused like my brother buys?
Something more on the newer side, so this way I don't have to go through the mechanic all the time. I don't like giving him presents all the time, you know what I mean?
Newer. Okay.
And when you
newer.
Say inexpensive...
Yeah, give us a ballpark. Wait, you can't give us a ballpark number, can you? Because your ex-wife will
Bingo.
Hear the number. So we're going to have to use code.
What's the universal code?
Only you and I will discuss this, Peter. You ready?
You got it.
I've had the same problem. You can't admit to having any money because your ex-wife will find out, and she'll know that whatever you're paying her isn't enough.
No, I got to be honest with you. On the air, she's pretty cool about it. She is cool about it.
Yeah, that was the right thing to say.
Did you get
you
in trouble?
It.
Are you a lawyer?
No.
Did you get in trouble when you told your wife you won the lottery? Or maybe you didn't tell her?
I didn't tell her.
No comment. I'm a politician. No comment right now.
I told my wife the other day.
Number one or number two?
Number two. It was her birthday.
Yes.
And we celebrated her birthday.
A gala affair it was.
It was quite an event, wasn't it?
McDonald's had never seen such a crowd.
Yeah, did you give her some new fuzzy dice to go with?
As we sat there around this huge table with a birthday cake with flames pouring out of it, and my sister raised her glass of plum wine in the Chinese restaurant and said, to my sister-in-law, the sweetest, most wonderful, blah, 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 all the usual stuff. And I added to that, and I might add, I said, one of the best wives I've ever had.
How sweet.
She didn't take to that. No, notice that she wasn't laughing?
No, she didn't.
She can't take to that joke.
Anyway, Peter, I know you're anxious to get an answer from us, but we're beating around the bush because we're trying to fathom the parameters here.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest two vehicles.
You were? Okay. I got one.
Well, he's probably going to only buy one of them, but I'll suggest two, and you can pick. One of them is a Dodge Caravan.
That's what I gave up.
Oh, his ex-wife has the Dodge Caravan. That's it.
Oh, that
you don't need to buy a car. You stick with the 83 Buick. You drive to Oneonta.
Uh-huh.
You say to your wife, the car isn't running right, hon.
I'll have to take your car.
Let me take your car so the kids, our kids, whom we love, despite our differences, will be safe.
Well, you guys know all the tricks, don't you?
That way, you say, hun, I wish I could afford a new car, but you're bleeding me dry with the payments.
I don't want to get into trouble. We have peace. No.
So the caravan is out? I mean, are you still...
I could even go for a new car, but it's got to be on the inexpensive side because, you know...
you can buy a Dodge Caravan brand new as long as you don't get it too loaded for like $15,000.
Yeah, but that's so big. I mean, I have the kids on the weekend, and that's me.
Yeah, but the kids are going to get bigger. They're going to start playing football and baseball, and they're going to want to go camping.
No. But
they're going to bring friends along.
My brother doesn't understand squat about the situation.
Yeah, you know.
This guy, he's divorced, right?
Bingo.
What is he doing the other 6 days of the week? Will you shape up? He's dating
he's happy,
women
you know?
Of the opposite sex.
Women of the opposite sex.
So he doesn't want to be driving around in a damn Dodge Caravan. That's not exactly
right
the coolest vehicle to have.
I got the remake of the Brady wagon right now. You know what I mean?
All right, so exactly. You want something that's dual purpose.
This has multi-purpose vehicle.
Right, no.
Well, in which case, I have the vehicle. You're going to have to go very used, perhaps.
Okay.
What do they call that thing? A Ford Explorer.
You think so?
Oh.
Yep. That's kind of swingy.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't turn the ladies off, and yet the kids will enjoy it. It's safe. It's reasonably economical.
Uh-huh.
That's my choice.
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. See, I was gonna...
It's not like driving like a Matador.
I was going to suggest a Ford Taurus. But it's a little bit
too stodgy.
A little too stodgy, I think.
Yeah. That's why the Explorer is you, Peter.
Oh, it's okay. It's me.
It's you. Yeah. Okay. Try it out. You'll like it.
Okay.
Nice vehicle.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Grazie. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't move because more calls and the new Puzzler are coming right up.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and MSG. More stinking geography.
No, actually, it's geography and poetry.
Yes.
Look at this.
I'm ready.
This is from some guy who's in the business of words, I guess. What's his name? Freddie something from Minneapolis, an outfit called In Other Words.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what city's appellation shows up most across the nation? Was your not-now-recent puzzler
posed... Appellation, not Appalachian.
No.
I got it. I'm sorry.
Appellation. Was your now-not-recent puzzler posed in idle speculation, which has caused great consternation amongst fans at every station, who've been suffering sleep privation and the slow deterioration of the art of concentration or of any cerebration, lest it's focused on obsessing on your wretched rumination. Please, I beg you in frustration to prevent our ruination and avoid your calumnation. Suffer not procrastination. You must end the aggravation of this nagging situation. It is time for you to give us the elusive information. Now relieve our agitation and bring forth the revelation, which will put an end, sing praises, to this garrulous narration. With the mystery's termination, you'll reclaim our adulation and be once again the guys who are an NPR sensation and to loyal listener legions a true cause for celebration.
Wow.
Is that good? That all because of a little geography. Now, that was a lot of good words, but this fewer words are funnier. This is from Pansy Miller. Dear Tom and Ray, my ex-boyfriend's sister.
Got it.
Lives in Fairview, Tennessee. As you know, Fairview is the town of which there are more than any other damn
town. Except for Midway. Yeah.
Except for Midway. She explains where she lives by saying the following. I live in Fairview.
Oh, wait a minute. You're about to insult a lot of Tennessee.
I'm just reading. I'm not making
this
up.
Well, how's it written? How do you know to read it like that?
A-H-I.
Oh, ah. Okay. All right.
I didn't write it.
All right. Go ahead.
Pansy Miller from East Sumpling, Washington wrote it. So she's the one who's insulting everyone who lives in Tennessee. I live in Fairview, midway between Fairview and Fairview.
Midway.
How do they do it? I don't get it.
I don't either, but someday we're going to have to go.
I'm going to Fairview and to Midway.
Yes, and I hope you stay there. Anyway, it's time for the new puzzler.
Oh.
Yes, and I had mentioned this is going to be a quasi-automotive puzzler, and it is because it involves a car.
Yeah, you drove to the store to buy something and some other thing.
No, here it is. This is very brief.
It's impossible for you.
No, it is. It's very brief because I try to elaborate on it. I try to elaborate and obfuscate the simple facts of the puzzler, and I couldn't.
So you're going to just go for it.
I have to go for it. So here it is. A man gets out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
He pushes his car to a hotel and gives the owner of the hotel a large sum of money.
Mm.
A short time later, he pushes the car to a house and gives the owner of the house a somewhat smaller sum of money. The question is, what's going on here?
What's going on here? Why is he doing this?
Yeah, why would...
Why is he pushing his car and why is he paying all these people money?
Upon his release from jail, a man pushes his car to a hotel and hands over to the owner of the hotel a large sum of money. I won't say how much it is, but a large sum of money. Subsequently, he pushes this car, the same car, to a house and gives the owner of the house a somewhat smaller sum of money. What's happening here?
Wow.
Wow. Pretty deep stuff, huh?
This is quasi-automotive.
Yes, master.
A car.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Department of Potentially Correct Answers, or DPCA, if you like to abbreviate, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. I'll repeat the address. Puzzler Tower, Department of Potentially Correct Answers, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And if your answer is correct and we selected at random as our puzzler winner next week, you could win a fabulous prize, but probably you'll want a crummy T-shirt or a hat or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
I shouldn't say you could win a fab. No, you won't win a fabulous prize. You're going to win one of the crummy prizes that...
Not a Chevy Blazer?
No.
Century 21 Blazer?
If you'd like to talk to us, the number is 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy in South Bend, Indiana.
Is that Kathy? Well, I'll tell you.
No, with a K, of
South
course.
South Bend, Indiana, it's with a K.
Of course it's with a K.
Yeah.
What's up, Kathy?
I have a 1988 Chevy Corsica. Several weeks ago, I was sitting at a drive-through ATM bank machine, and an indicator light on my dash came on and said, service engine soon. So I finished my business at the ATM, pulled away, and checked the owner's manual, and it said that this is for the computer command control.
Yes.
Which is for the emission system?
No, it's for the everything. It's for the engine management system. This runs everything.
Okay, that's what my husband had initially thought. But then the manual claimed it was for the emissions.
No.
Okay. Well, that's...
Your husband's right.
That's a minor part of the problem, actually, or just a very small piece of it. It said, in any case, that if the light came on and stayed on or came on intermittently, you needed to get it serviced. And while I was sitting there reading the manual, I glanced back up. The light had gone back off.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, well, we'll probably have to get it in shortly. There have now been three occasions in the past few weeks when the light has come on. The trick is that every time it comes on, I'm at the same ATM.
And you're stopped and the engine is idling.
Whoa.
But only at one ATM.
Yeah, if you go to a different ATM...
Does not happen.
Are the lines just as long at the other ATMs?
No line at the ATM where it's happening.
No lines anywhere in South Bend, Indiana.
Not at this particular ATM. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, it has to do with, there are a lot of factors. It has to do with how warm the engine is when you get there, how long you sit there. It has. You could duplicate this by going across the street from the ATM and sitting for the same amount of time and the light would come on.
You think so?
I think so.
I've not had that happen.
Well.
We've tried having it idle at other points. It's very close to
come
where
on, Kathy. Try to be cooperative.
No, she wants.
We're struggling here to do a show every week, and we need the cooperation of our listeners, and certainly our callers.
That's right. I mean, everyone.
I have to tell you the real trick here, though. I thought this was really strange, and I was just waiting, and I thought, well, okay, we'll get this taken care of. But I mentioned it to someone that I work with, and she has the same problem at another ATM.
Oh.
And it only happens to, it's not the same ATM, it's a different make and model of car.
Yeah.
But it never happens to her anywhere else either.
See, you had the wrong, you're looking for a technical answer, and Kathy is looking for a metaphysical answer. And I think she's closer to the truth than you
I'm
are.
I'm not up on my Corsican metaphysics. Well, it may very well be that something at the ATM is sending out some kind of RF signal, radio frequency signal, that is interfering with your computer.
Yes. Now, I like that answer.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that, except it's wrong, and it's baloney.
I knew he'd like that, too.
Yeah. What's likely to be happening is that the catalytic converter is overheating. Maybe the oxygen sensor is getting loaded up, and that's turning on the light. Why don't you go and have your shop put their scanner on this thing and see what code is stored in the computer.
Yeah, what that does is it tells you that there's something wrong, but it doesn't tell you what. But it's telling the computer what. And when you take it back to your mechanic or to a GM dealer, they can peek into the computer and find out what it's telling them.
Okay.
So I would do that. How many miles on this? About 50 or 60K?
80.
80. It's very likely you need a new oxygen sensor. Why it happens at the ATM, I don't know.
Hmm.
But that's my guess. When they put this thing on the machine, it's going to tell them you need an oxygen sensor.
Well, my other thought was that perhaps the bank was sending out some kind of signal so that it would mess up my car, forcing me to take out a new car loan.
Ah.
Aha. See?
See, we hadn't thought that much about it.
See, not only, she's not looking for a metaphysical answer, she's looking for a conspiracy answer.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
A sinister plot by the bank.
A sinister plot by the bank, and I wouldn't put it past those damn bankers anyway, would you? They would do anything.
I think you should call Oliver Stone. He'll be right on this. See you, Kathy.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another valuable hour listening to Car Talk. Now, before I do the credits, I just wanted to mention, have you noticed that whenever we add somebody to the credits, they almost immediately lose their job?
Yeah, I wonder why that happens.
I mean, we added George Stay on top of this and...
Bingo.
Gonzo.
Out he was.
We added our Secretary of Pain Relief, Les Aspirin, and what?
Gone.
Gone. Like a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I don't know, but hurry up. Read Dougie's name. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Our producer is...
Our producer is Doug Lavoisier, Suck Dugas, Punkin' Lips, Berman. He's out of here.
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Where's Barbie Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. And our technical advisor is the patron saint of free lunch, John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Twinkle Toes, Donut Breath, Make That Two Triple Cheeseburgers, Lawler.
Mr. Lawler,
Mr.
You.
Lawler, I'm sorry. Yeah. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our director of unsolicited advice is H. Ross Peugeot. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our assertiveness training coach is Lois Steen. Our staff dietitian is Arlene Menu. The keeper of the bell tower is...
Quasi Automotive Master.
Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. The new director of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Philip Harmonic.
Yeah, known to his friends as Phil.
Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah, and now the IRS knows her as Kay Sarah Sarah. The chairman of our math department is Horatio Algebra. Mr. Gigi does our hair. The president of the Car Talk Hair Club for Men is Emerson Fittibaldi, who, by the way, is also a client. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey.
Or that bump.
We're clicking. No, that's us. We're clicking clack the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although Mrs. Claus won't let Santa listen to it while we're on, this is NPR, National Public Radio.